Turn to this, which we know very well, which says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." So all of this tells us clearly that our faith, our belief, is not firstly seen in the visible realm. It is not there. It is based on words. And on those words, we choose to either believe or not to believe. That is how it's based. And so we find ourselves here in the introduction that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so often the problem that we have with regard to faith, that is believing, is what we read in the Bible, interpreting it into our lives, is so often our problem. The problem is that we want to analyze, we want to question, we want to question the interpretation. We want to think that that is coming out of man's mind or imagination or what he thinks it says in the Word of God. The Bible says, doesn't it, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved and your household as well. But then there is the walking out in that new life. It's based on what we hear, what we read. And it's walking in that light that we have. And somehow, for us, it's just not enough. Man in his fallen state wants more. He wants something more to convince that what he's reading, what he's hearing, is actually true. The Word of God is not actually enough for us. It's not something that really convinces us enough. And yet God has chosen the very means and way that gives us such problems, such challenges, that challenges our pride, our intellect. It's actually the very means, the very way of which we make it into the kingdom of God. And so often that is the problem that we have. It doesn't match up with what we think it should be and the way God should present it to man. Whenever God presents anything to man, it's always unsavoury. It's not palatable. It's offensive. It upsets us. It's controversial. It's radical. All those strong words and terms that upset us. This, of course, is why Christ was rejected, like he was. And times have not changed. He is still rejected, and we still reject him. And so, here in this profound statement of our understanding of what faith is, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Or in other words, faith is that realization. Or it's our confidence. In other words, faith is my confidence. Because I walk by faith. There is no other way I can walk it other than by faith. And therefore, my faith has hope in those evidence, those things that I don't see as yet. That is why I always keep saying that the revelation of God's word that you hold in your hand has substance, has evidence, it's reality, it is real. The very revelation that we hold in our hands is eternal, far more than what we actually see around us, what we're looking at, which is all passing away. The Word of God will never pass away. The Kingdom of God will never pass away. It's eternal. And so our very faith, our very hope, is in an eternal principle. Yet why is it we still want the things of the world, the things of the flesh, that is all passing away? Why is it that we put our hope, our trust, why is it that that is more the substance to us than actually God's word and what he says to us? What is it within us that still resists it, that still finds it unpalatable, offensive? Because it still challenges the intellect, the pride. It still offends us because we want to intellectually be in control, interpreting the Word of God. And that is why so much of it is soulish, fleshly. Because it's man interpreting revelation he doesn't understand. And therefore he becomes offended by this. But this substance that we looked at is so much the problem. Because it's the very evidence. The very word of God is the evidence that God exists, that he spoke the world into being, that all the promises which are yes and amen in Christ Jesus are all real. And yet why is it we still only see just a glimpse of what is there in the Word of God, so often manifested in our lives or in the house of God? When we read the myriads of promises, even in this life, that we can start to enter into our inheritance. And that is what the deeper life is about. Yet, why is it we're still just scratching the surface? That in evidence, in actual what we see, what we experience, is just so marginal to what is actually there. Well, it says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And the point is that it's having this confidence or this realization that what is there in the Word of God is real. And the point is, we are not really influenced to such a point that it gains that confidence. Now, all parents, if they love their children, try to encourage their children in whatever thing they're pursuing to have confidence in it. Many children lack confidence, and therefore parents try to help where they're lacking that confidence, to get that confidence. Because confidence is such a strong influence in achieving the goal that you're aiming for. Now, take that over to the spiritual. And God is ever trying to influence us, woo us, into becoming confident to the very promises that he's made. This confidence is where you are influenced. You are, it's caused you to become totally reliant, to move your whole weight over onto God for support. That's actually what it's all about. So that your whole weight, your whole being, everything is over to God because he has promised. and he is faithful. And that is the why we still have problems with unbelief. And we battle. And we waver. And we're shaking. And we know in our hearts that although we're speaking the word of God, we're speaking those promises, and we're saying, yes, God is faithful, but we're not really confident about it. We're not really influenced by it. It hasn't really fully persuaded me to such a point that I don't question it anymore. We are still questioning. And all the while there is still areas of questioning, you are not confident. And therefore, the word of God is not really doing that work in our heart as it should be doing. We're battling whether it's really true. We are battling all these things. We question the anointing. We question the interpretation. We say that, well, if there's signs today, then that will influence me. I will know then that it's true, the word of God is true. But you see, signs never save one, really. They help to influence, in a sense, the word of God, that the word of God, yes, comes with signs, and we should always expect that and believe that. But the Lord knows that never ultimately in itself ever saves a person. Salvation comes by faith. That is always the principle. Salvation never comes by signs alone. Now those signs can lead one influence toward faith, but ultimately it's by faith that we make it into the kingdom of God. And that's why we have such a social gospel today, such a sort of liberal type of gospel, where it works on the emotions. And it's just getting up and committing your life to Jesus and receiving Christ as Saviour, and you're now wonderfully born again and enter into the family of God and you're part of the church. It's not. Because unless it's by faith, and faith is a walk, and there are two principles that are attached to salvation. Yes, you are saved by faith, and yes, you are being saved by faith. And the being saved by faith is not the one that they want to teach and preach much about. Because the being saved is also trials, making it into the kingdom of God. And when you start to talk on trials, that's when you start to empty your churches. And so they water it down, they compromise on this. But verse 3 says that by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. So it tells us how we understand. Because we are to understand, because it's the way we're made. We have a mind, we have a brain. It's the way God has made us. But it's the way we understand. It's the way we receive. And then it's the way we interpret all those things. And of course, this of course is where Satan has the access to human nature, to the world. He holds them by the mind. And so when we become a new creation in Christ, as we know, the mind has to be worked on, has to be changed, deliverance, and it's a process. The reason being is because we have to understand and interpret those spiritual things that don't come by flesh and blood, but come by revelation through the word of God. You see, what we have to understand is faith is revelation. Faith has to be revealed. You can't argue yourself into faith. You can't study yourself into faith. It is a gift, and it has to be given. And so, in verse 3, it says, we understand that the worlds were framed, formed in other words, by the word of God. In other words, as we know from Genesis, God spoke the word, and it became, and it was. That is our understanding of faith. Faith, which is a gift, and it's a gift that comes from God. Although it's a gift to us, when we speak of faith, faith is God. God doesn't have to have faith. He doesn't have to have a gift. He gives us that gift. He imparts to us what he spoke into being. He didn't have to believe. He does believe. He is belief. He is faith. He is everything other than we are. And so it says we understand that by the very words he spoke. And those very words he spoke, life, everything that we see, there's everything around us, the word of God is the same word that he spoke, it's the same revelation that we hold in our hands as well. There's no difference. But it says, by faith, we have to understand. We've got to understand that. And the way we understand that is by looking also at creation. We look at the world that was formed. We look at the sky, the stars. We look at the landscape. We look at the sea, the mountains. And above all, we look at the ultimate of God's creation, man himself. Even though he's fallen. All of that enables and helps us to understand. That is why everyone will be accountable at the day of judgment. Because in conscience, there is that understanding of God. God has put his stamp in our understanding of himself. Which then brings me now to the parable of the sower, which we again know very well in Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. And take it from verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. So we already begin to see that the word, our understanding of all of this, the word is seed that is sown. And so when we think of now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, it is seed that has to be sown. So it is real, but it has to be sown. The substance has to be sown in order to influence us, the evidence. We cannot be influenced, we cannot be persuaded, unless seed is being sown, which is the word of God. And this is our problem. We're trying to be influenced, we're trying to believe, when at times seed has not been sown, birthed. Therefore, if there's no birthing there, if there's nothing there that's been sown, then there's nothing that can be produced. And that's the big problem. And that's why we battle with unbelief. That's why we get down, despondent, angry. But the problem is that we're on our own worst enemy because we've hindered the word from being sown in the heart. Because once it's sown in the heart, you don't have to do any more. It starts to grow. Once a woman conceives seed, that child begins to develop. She doesn't have to work at it. In that sense, she has to be sensible, of course. But ultimately, it's all growing. The word of God sown into your heart will grow if it is in the heart. And then it's nurtured by fellowship, by prayer, which is all the spiritual feeding. The same as a mother has to feed and eat sensibly for the child to develop, so it's the same. That's why we have our fellowship. We come week after week, because what it's all ultimately about is that seed that is being sown into your heart has to be nurtured and kept. And that's what fellowship is about. And these people that believe that they can be Christians but don't have to go to church is a load of hogwash. It can't work, because you have to be fed. And that's what this parable is all about. And then he goes on, as you know well, those by the wayside are the ones who hear, then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. And so they're the ones that will hear the word of God. You might share the word of God. You might spend a few hours with them. You might spend a week with them. And then at the end of it, you find, bye-bye. Interesting. It's right for you, but not for me. What's happened there? The word was going out, but the devil was right there, snatching it. Snatching it. And all of us, we've known that one, we've experienced it. And you just say, Lord, have mercy. 13. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of trial or temptation fall away. So outwardly, they're the ones, we've seen them, go through all the actions, say all the right things, say all the right words. However, when a trial, a test comes, the honeymoon, which they want all the time, they want that honeymoon experience, all the goosey bumps, suddenly they find that this marriage is real and that you have to work things out. Oh, it's not for me. I'm out of this. Sounds very familiar today, doesn't it, with marriages. Last for a while, and when the trials come, I'm out of this. This is what I didn't bargain for. For better, for worse, for richer or poorer. You know? Suddenly they've forgotten all those vows that they take. Again, you see the analogy. Verse 14, now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. That probably is one of the worst ones. Because you can get people with that one, can sit for years. And it's gradually, it's still just the world. There's still not been that consecration that is worked. They've still not actually seen that God wants to separate us from the world because of the cares of the world that get in. And what do those cares do? They start to slowly harden the heart. And it's a gradual process. It doesn't just suddenly happen. And it says that it hardens the heart. And they choked with the cares, the riches of pleasures. And what is happening, they're not really maturing, and there's not really the fruit that is coming, which Jesus said is what you identify them with. And how can it be? How can it be that when you still want to have the world, and you still want to have God? The two do not amix. They are opposed. They're light and dark. And you see, this sort of person convinces themselves that they can be Christian yet still live in the world. And this is where your liberalism comes out of this. This is a sort of Laodicean church. Because they will come up with excuses. Well, Jesus said, although we're not in the world, we're still of the world in that sense. We're still in it, even though we're not of it. So we're still in the world. We've still got to be an example. We've still got to live with our neighbour and everything. And what use are you if you are separated? That you look like a recluse. You become a sort of monastic. And so they twist it. They have a way. The devil has a way of twisting it, confusing it. Which is not the issue. You are in the world, but you don't join them. You don't flirt with it. That is the point. That separation is working in your life. And therefore, if you go in a situation where you find yourself, you will find yourself not being touched or tainted by it. And Jesus mixed with them. He mixed with the tax collectors. His first miracle at Cana was turning the water into wine. He mixed among them. That was a wedding. There were a lot of unregenerates in that environment. But did he become a wine bibber? Did he sort of lose his consecration in that situation? No, he didn't. Because he found himself there. He was about his Father's work, the kingdom. That is the point. That is the principle that is working in us. But it's not with this character. Why? Because the heart is changing. The pleasures of this world are choking. The riches, and it's bringing no fruit at all into their lives. Then finally, the one in 15, verse 15. But the ones that fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word, with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. So we notice, out of all the rest of them, that it is with the heart that they keep the word that they receive. They keep the seed that they receive. Because the heart is right with God. Some try to keep the word. Now there's always signs of those who try to keep the word. And those that try to keep the word are religious about it. I've got to listen to this tape. I've got to listen to it at least 10 times. I've got to do it. I've got to. It's a striving. So in other words, this wonderful message that we see, the good news about it, is not really being received in peace, in joy. But there's a striving that is attached to it. There's a religiousness that is attached to it. And somehow, by listening to that tape 10 times or 100 times, I then will please God. It's a giveaway. And I've seen it in this body. I've seen it amongst some of you, bless your hearts. And you're no nearer to believing. Because the heart is not right to receive. And when the heart isn't right, religion tries to take over, pride tries to take over, all the flesh trying to do it. Our salvation isn't about trying, it's about being in God's presence. And so, having heard the word, with a heart that is right, open, you're able then to keep it. And by keeping it, it bears that fruit which Jesus said you know them by. Right. So this evidence of faith is seen by our works of faith, which James speaks of. Now remember, we're not justified by our works, but our faith produces works, i.e. the fruit, which is evidential, which is what is seen. So it's the evidence of faith. It's our evidence. What is the evidence? The fruit that comes by the living word in our lives. Because you are those living epistles. And we see this, of course, in James chapter 2, verse 21, which we know again. I know we've read these verses many, many times, but they are still so applicable when the anointing is teaching us. In James chapter 2, verse 21, he says, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with works, and by works faith was made perfect?" So the two work together to make faith perfect. And that is what we fail to see. In order for us to receive, that is the promises of God's word, whether we need to receive finances, whether we need to receive faith for healing, faith for our loved ones, everything, faith for this church, and everything is faith. The two have to work together. Faith was working together with the works. So the faith that is in your heart, that is the fruit, has to work in order for faith to be seen. The two have to meet. That is why if it's faith, faith will produce the corresponding actions. Faith knows how to act. That's why I always keep saying you don't have to tell faith what to do if it's evidence. If faith is evident for you to rise up and walk, you walk, because faith knows what to do. And it applies to everything. If faith is evident because you see a need, or the parable of the Good Samaritan, faith is evident, faith will know what to do, because it reaches out and meets the need of that person. The reason that we don't always see the true unity and love which we talk about, and I'm all for true unity and love must be in the body of Christ, but I know it's never going to be achieved unless faith is evident. Because then faith knows what to do. It just moves in accordance. You know, we talk about being led by the Spirit, and rightly so, and not by the flesh. But do you know what it's really meaning? It's really saying we're led by faith. Because faith is the Spirit. It's our walk. And so faith is there, moving in accordance. You know, there are times when I see a situation. I mean, you know, we're all the while faced with mountains. We're faced with this morning, with this internet. Problems with sound. I don't know. All I know is faith is there. I'm where I should be. The word's got to go out. We pray about it. God knows. It's there. We just move on. But what I think is happening this morning is what we've heard over the news. There's a solar fallout, and they've put warnings around the world. It's affecting. And that maybe is what is happening today, while we're having problems with sound. I don't know. The Lord knows. The Lord wants the word to go out. We can do no more than have what we've got here, these computers, into the room, and so forth. All I know is faith, the word, will get out. And if it's hindered today, then people can get in, log into the website, and they will hear this word. It'll get out either way. And I'm not going to let it hinder. Because I can feel the devil's trying to work, trying to hinder me with this anointing, giving this message out today. And you just settle it that I walk by faith and not by sight. And I'm not going to be rattled by it. Yes, the mind's trying to get in. Here we go again. Nothing but trouble. Ever since we started this computer, been nothing but trouble. It's easy to think like that. Faith holds our entire being with God, walking in this life. You see, most of us would only be hearers and not doers of the word were it not for trials. And that's why God allows us to go through trials. Because actually, trials stop us from falling into the habit of just being hearers. God knows how to do it. Because trials make the walk real. Trials throw you right back to the fact that faith has to be real. And so you see, our trials, staying in, enduring, is a clear sign that we're in faith and the word of God is going into the heart.
That's right.
So the very fact that we're still here after 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 25 years, 30 years, 35 years.
Amen.
I probably could go up it over the top of that as well. It's getting more on 38 years. Something must be birthing into the heart.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
And it births because God humbles us. And he does it by the means of the cross. And so the cross is that essential part of this walk that enables the heart to receive the word of God in an abased position, spiritually speaking. See, the proud will never hear it. The problem with pride is it believes it's hearing it. It believes it's in faith. That is the deception of pride. Until eventually the lives become so shipwrecked that at that point God, eventually they realise, well, hang on, something's gone terribly wrong. And there can be hope then at that point. There can. So we can see why God works with us like he does. Because I've always said, you are and I are ultimately here today so that God can get to our faith. That is always the first priority in his mind and thinking. Not with us. It's not always with us. Oh, I'm here today because God loves me and I want to hear that he loves me. You know, we want the goosey bumps. And there's a place for that, don't get me wrong. There is a place. But I know I'm here today because God is getting to my faith. And when he's getting to my faith, he's getting to my heart. Because the heart sows that seed of faith that produces and brings forth fruit. And when it's sown in the heart, I don't have to do anything about that because faith will know what to do. It will know what to do. That's the rest that we have by faith. And you will always know a saint who's at rest, at peace, because they're not striving. Jesus never strove in his ministry. The people around him tried to get him, to push him. We know that with the raising of Lazarus. Why on earth were you not here 2 days ago? This wouldn't have happened. But he wasn't perturbed by it because faith was moving him. Faith was, that was the right time for faith. Faith has its own timing. It's not our timing. And we see that through the word of God over and over again. We notice also that there has to be steps of faith. Abraham stepped in faith
in steps. He didn't get it all ultimate straight away. We read there that the ultimate of his step of faith was offering his son Isaac. Yeah. And so his faith and works were meeting together. And God intervened in that and spared that offering. That's how it works. But it was a stepping stone of faith. He first had to be called to walk by faith. He and his household. Then was the first step. But you see through the course of his life that there are steps of faith. And yes, in some of those steps, he made mistakes. And that's where you have to be called from the foundation of the world. Because that's the mercy of God. Because we've all made mistakes in faith. And because we find ourselves back, and no, God doesn't let us get away with it. You're going to take that course again and again until you get it. But all of that tells me that I've been called from the foundation of the world. Because I have seen some who've taken a step of faith and missed it and no longer walk with the Lord. And that is scary. That is scary. Because God knows we make these mistakes. Not that we want them. It's just sometimes what happens. And so, like Abraham, he steps out in the walk of a pilgrimage. We're exactly the same. Because we're of the seed of Abraham. And so as a body, God has been working on our faith. And for years, ever since we've been in here. And he works on our faith, whatever situation we're in. Whatever situation you're in, whatever your situation was this week, God was working on your faith. And that's why we say it's tailor-made. And sometimes this can be the most strangest, most bizarre situations that we can find ourselves in. And very often in situations where probably you should never be in. But God's still working with your faith. Because it's all things working together for good. That is the principle that is working all the time. I mean, you know, God's working up with our faith with this assembly. But if we would outwardly look at this assembly, we've lost far more than we've ever kept. So, logically, how can you still walk by faith as a body when you've lost more than you've ever kept? That's what the natural mind, pride, would say. But it's not what faith says. And it was even the same with Jesus. Jesus walked by faith. The disciples walked by faith, yet one of them still betrayed him and gave him over. And even at the night of his betrayal, they all forsook him. But that was still faith in operation. That was still God working through that situation to get to their hearts. Because what was exposed in their hearts? Fear. Fear will always make you run away. That is the nature of fear. And that is why God has to remove fear from our hearts. Many have run away from this church. They don't admit it, but actually what was working was fear. That fear caused them to run away so that they couldn't continue to get the word into their hearts, to work with their hearts for faith to be birthed. Can you see how the devil does it? He knows, he's a master how to try and keep us away from the seed of God's word. Wish to God more believers had their ears and eyes and hearts open to his devilish ways. But it takes grace and mercy. When you look at this assembly, are we an assembly that's a local assembly? That is, that we're all sort of living in the same village and so on? Not at all. Not at all. And we've raised this one for years on and off. But we're all scattered. We're all, a lot of us make a journey. Some come a fair distance to come to this location, this place. I don't question it. It has to be faith. It's the mind of God. We have the trials that are in the body. Physical trials, financial trials. Times that we try to maintain purity, consecration, unity, oneness, all of it's attacked, exposed, for a reason, so that God can get to our hearts. And when he gets to our hearts, it's ultimately because he's getting to our faith, to believe. Because unless we come every week believing, and that's the offering that we present before him, we have no basis of fellowship. Unless we enter this room on the basis that I am believing, I believe it, it's in my heart, then we have no real basis of fellowship. And we know if we are believing and faith is present, because it's evident, as we've heard today through prophecy, through our praise and worship. If you want to see someone, whether they're in faith or not, you will see it by the way they praise and worship. It's always the biggest giveaway.
Yeah, that's right.
We can resist in the flesh, and yet our faith is being worked out. It's being worked on. You know, it's like an athlete who has to bring the flesh under control. And the flesh has to be brought under control. That's why we too are to take up our cross and follow Christ, because God is also making soldiers of us. And soldiers submit under authority. They willingly submit under the regime, the training. So we put that over into the spiritual. Paul, the Apostle Paul, was doing exactly the same. We have to accept the fact that our flesh life has to be brought under discipline. Because it is the flesh life that expresses outwardly the sin that lies in the heart. And so, we might resist in the flesh, but ultimately, if we are to continue in this walk, it is that in the flesh that we resist that has to actually be brought under subjection. But the way the flesh will be brought under subjection is again by believing that it will be done. We often don't think that we actually also have to be in faith to believe that this stinking flesh of mine has to be brought under subjection. I've got to be in faith for this. I have to be in faith that I take up my cross daily and follow Christ. I have to just be in faith to believe that that cross is working. Because I can't do it in myself. That's religious otherwise. You see. But as I said, God's making soldiers out of us. And soldiers are men and women of discipline. Marching. Drill. Going through drill all the time. Even though a lot of what you learn in warfare and combat, you wouldn't probably use half of it. But you've been trained just in case. Faith trains us. Faith equips us. Faith will affect our confession. You can't try to make a positive confession. It's not this auto-suggestion. Faith knows how to confess. Faith will speak if it's in the heart. And you know if you're in faith or not, because you hear it. It comes out. In whatever way it will speak. when it comes out in fear and unbelief. If it's there, it will speak. And the humble will hear it. And they go away, they repent, they get on their knees and say, Lord, I heard this. That is telling me my heart has not been changed yet in this area. It comes back to the parable of the sower. No, faith has to be worked on. And that is why, as we know, he is the master potter and we are the flesh, and we are the clay. Amen. Just that flesh on that wheel. And there the master's hands are moulding, perfecting. And for him to mould and perfect, it requires faith. Faith, if you like, is the water. Because we tend to forget with clay, it's a dry, yucky substance. I don't know whether any of you, when you were at school or whatever, you tried pottery. I know I did. And you know, when you first have it in your hands, or you dig it out of the trough, it's a bit sticky, it's yucky stuff. And so the first thing you have to do is you have to slap it on the wheel. You have to slap it down hard, because that's what seals it. But the next thing, it's no good rotating and starting that wheel. You try putting your hands to it, and the whole thing goes a complete odd shape, or eventually just come off the wheel. It has to be lubricated. Water has to be applied in order to change the consistency of that clay, in order to begin to work it, to begin to create a vase. So if you think about it in many ways, the water, which is the word, washes faith. That's why it's so essential. God has not been able to change or mould any of you unless the water has done its work in which to soften that clay to continue to mould and change it. Otherwise you've simply come to church, you've wasted your time, you'd have been better off at home having an extra hour's sleep or whatever. God knows. And that's why God will speak so directly to us sometimes. And he certainly does when we get on a faith teaching. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Father, by the grace and mercy of God, we will get there. It will drop that 18 inches from the head to the heart. Thank you, Father, that you don't give up on us. Sometimes, Lord, we're offended because faith can take such a long time. But faith is a lifetime. Faith is a walk every day. You cannot really put a time onto faith. We can't really say, well, I should have faith for this and this, certainly by 6 months' time. That is not how faith works, and we've tried to do that. Pride tries to do that. All we know, and all I know, is we take it day at a time. And what has not dropped that 18 inches, may today do so. And whatever does drop 18 inches from our head to our hearts is the grace and love and mercy of God anyway. But Lord, we are so aware that this walk is real. And we know nothing unless it is revealed. But Father, you have decreed that we will all walk totally by faith in these last days. And even though we're trying to hide, we're trying to compromise, we're trying to still rely on the arm of the flesh or compromise in areas, you are still going to bring us back until eventually we realize I cannot run away or hide in this area any longer. And that is the love and grace and mercy of God. But Lord, we've also experienced, all of us, where you have provided in your love and grace, where faith wasn't evident as it should be. Sometimes in a life and death situation. If we go to the arm of the flesh, then we go to the arm of the flesh. And we don't try and spiritualize it. We don't try and say, well, God works through the doctors, and that way, you know, he healed and raised me up, or whatever it is. No. It's either faith or it isn't. It's either going to the arm of the flesh or it isn't. What you don't like, Lord, is when pride tries to compromise and twist it and change it. We've all done it, Lord, and we all repent in abhorrence before you, because it's unclean. Father, we will be men and women by your grace and mercy who come forth and of pure, undefiled faith, living, walking, breathing by faith. He that has begun that work will complete and finish it. It isn't up to us how it can be achieved, but all of us have got mountains still in front of us. I don't know how those mountains are removed, how we get over, but I know Christ overcame them all. Therefore, so do we, and so do I, and we don't question it. Because we walk by faith and not by sight. So Lord, thank you today for this message. Thank you for encouraging us. Thank you for answering some questions, things that we weren't sure about, that we were not seeing. We're going away so different than when we came. And we thank you for that now, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
And Jesus is the one, right above all. precious onward ever growing, till it finds fulfillment in the arms of the sea. So I worship and adore you, lay my whole life down before you, and cradled in